Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, good morning. And let's say thanks to all our guests for joining us by clapping our hands for them. Let's welcome them. Yeah, awesome, awesome. Great to have you here. If you're visiting for the first time or maybe the first time in a while, we're super glad you're here. And again, just add my welcome to Lee's and please let us know you were here today because we are what we call a relational church. And that simply means that we like to connect relationally and we want to get to know you and your story and hear more about your life and really help you connect with us. So welcome again. Pull out your bulletin if you want to, and you can take notes on the back here. Today's going to be a super practical message, and we're going to dig into what we've been talking about over the last 3 weeks, which is uphill habits. We said several weeks ago, the thesis of this series is really that most people have uphill hopes, but they have downhill habits. Their habits don't match up with their hopes, and our goal in this series is to try to flip that and try to help you match your hopes with God's hopes and your habits with God's habits. So habits are what make us. We know that to be true. Habits form us. They shape us. And we know that once we form our habits, then they form us. So you are today where you are because of your habits. Now, our theme verse for this series has been from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 from the Message, and it says this. Read that first line with me. Fix your attention on God. Yeah, that's where it all begins, fixing our attention on God. We said the very first week that we're going to put first things first. That's the first habit that we need to take care of that is uphill. Put first things first. And we talked about a lot of practical things. We'll kind of go over some of that again today. The second part of that verse says that you'll be changed from the inside out. Now, it's the beginning of the year, and a lot of people are talking about change, and they're thinking about change, and what can I do different this year than I did last year? Maybe 2017 really sucked for you, and that's okay if it did, because 2018 can be better if you will begin to apply these awesome habits. Somebody told me today if I say awesome that it makes me sound old, so I don't know. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Anyway, I said, I'm 40, so I'll be considered old. That's fine. So then it goes on. It says, readily recognize what he wants from you. Be aware what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. We talk a lot about hearing and doing. We want to know what God's saying to us and we want to respond to it. Then it goes on. It says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you. And I said it last week, I want to say it again, that's really our hope for you as well, that God's best would be coming in your life. And then it goes on and it says, he develops well-formed maturity in you. We talked about last week, the key to that maturity being developed is having a transformed mind. It's controlling our thoughts. And if you didn't get to hear that, you can go back and listen to it. But really what we want is for every believer to be experiencing freedom in their life and victory in their life. And we know that Christ has already provided those things for us, but sometimes we have to get our thinking lined up with what God has already said. And that's habit number two. Today is habit number three. Habit number three is to keep my life aligned with my purpose. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. Now, alignment is a big deal. I go to the chiropractor pretty regularly. I don't know if you, how many, actually, just show of hands, you won't be considered weird, but I think, how many of you actually go to a chiropractor on a regular basis? Okay, good. About a good number of you. Maybe some of you might feel better if you went to the chiropractor. I'm not sure. I do. I go to the chiropractor pretty regular. I started going about 8 years ago and went really regular about 4 or 5 times a week for about 6 weeks really to kind of get aligned. The goal of every chiropractor, The goal of every chiropractor is to align the spine. Because what happens is, if your spine's not in alignment, then it causes problems in other parts of your body. Now, you might be feeling something here, but it's really because your spine's not in alignment and the nerve supply is cut off. And I'm going way too in-depth on this, right? My chiropractor would be happy that I'm telling you this. But with alignment, it's critically important. Because if you're out of alignment, then everything else doesn't work properly. And what I said the first week of this series is that we're going to teach you some habits that if you will apply them, they will actually make every other part of your life better. These are some keystone habits. They're really important that you apply them. So keeping our life aligned with our purpose is critical. Now, why do we need to be reminded to keep our life in line with our purpose? Number one, because I have a purpose. And this isn't just for pastors, by the way. Like, it's not just pastors who have a purpose. It's for every person. When I did student ministry in South Florida for 5 years, I loved the time in the year when I would talk about spiritual gifts and purpose, and I would look at them in the eye, and I would say, "You have purpose." And when I would just love to see their eyes light up like, "Oh my goodness, I have purpose in my life." And I want you to experience that today. I want you to know you have purpose in your life. The reality is the scripture teaches this. Psalm 139 says it this way: "All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." All of my days were written in your book. And some of you may be saying, "Well, Jeremy, you don't know about my book. Like, I wrote some of my own chapters in that book and they weren't so good." But the reality is God can take those and he can write a new story. And he is in the business of writing new stories. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You have a purpose, and everyone wants to know the answer to that question. Why on earth am I here? What is the reason for my existence? And I just want to tell you, there is a reason for it. In fact, the writer of the book of Ephesians says it this way, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship." I love that word. It's a Greek word that comes from, like we would say, poem. It's poeme, and it's the word that really means that you're a masterpiece, that you're a work of art, that you are special, that you are unique. God doesn't make junk. He makes you on purpose. You are his workmanship. And I think that's pretty special. Created in Christ Jesus, when you trust Christ, he gives you a new reason for living. Christ Jesus, to do what? Good works. You weren't put on the planet to make a lot of money or to have kids, to get married. That wasn't the reason you were put here on the planet. God actually says, "I've got some good things that I want you to accomplish with your life." And he tells us that he prepared them in advance for us to do. God prepared those things in advance for us to do. You have incredible purpose, everybody. All of us have purpose. Sometimes our purpose is forgotten. Sometimes it gets misguided, and we just simply need to realign. And why do we need to do that? Because there is a competition for my life. There's competition for my life every day. There's competition for my time, my attention. All of the time, there's competition. And I think that we've bought into the myth that more is better. That more is better. I mean, we think about that all the time. Like, more is better. We got to have the bigger house. We got to have the bigger car. We got to have the fancier. More. And the reality is, the scripture says, you know, more isn't necessarily better. Ecclesiastes says it this way: "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." Does anybody want to exchange toil and chasing after the wind for a little bit of peace and tranquility in their life? I'm going to argue that more is not necessarily better. In fact, focusing and being purposeful in our life is better. Focusing on fewer things is better. We'll talk about that a little more in a few moments. Then finally, I believe it's important to know that we have a purpose because time is short. Time is short. The study of end times is called eschatology. That is a combination of two words, ology, study of, and eschaton, I believe, yeah, that's right, is last things, the study of last things. And I believe, I'm not an eschatologist, but I do believe from Scripture that we need to pay attention to the days we're living in. That these days could, in fact, be days of the end times. In fact, here's what the Scripture teaches us. Regardless of whether or not this is the end times, here's what it says. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to do this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? When my son was turning, I think, four, he was talking about making plans in life and what he was going to be. And I'm a dream crusher. I just said, you know, our life is a mist. We don't really know. That's not a good thing to tell your four-year-old, by the way. Just confessing my parenting mistakes. It says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, then we will do this or that. The reality is, not one of us is guaranteed another day. Whether it's the last days or not, we're not guaranteed another day. So let's make the most of each day. Today matters. The decisions I make today, how I live on purpose, how I make decisions for my family, that matters today on purpose. So how do we keep our life aligned with our purpose? How do we keep our life aligned with our purpose? I want to share four ways with you today. Super practical. You can jot these down on the back of your notes. But the first way is to decide what is important. Decide what is important. Decide what is important. When you think about what is important, what your priorities look like. Some people say, like, God is first in my life, and then family second, and then my work is next, and then, you know, whatever it is, or maybe it's God and my marriage, and then my kids, and then, which should be the right order, by the way, and then your work is behind that. And the reality is, it's easy for our priorities to get out of whack. I usually use these five measurement tools for my own life. I'll share these with you. I just believe there are five forms of capital in our life. Spiritual, that's love God. Relational, that's all the people in my life. I want to love people. Physical, how do I manage my time and energy? Then I go down to intellectual, like how do I seek wisdom in my life? Do I gain wisdom from things of the world or do I gain wisdom from the ways of God? And then finally, financial is at the end. Now, we all know that it's real easy to flip that financial to the top. It's real easy to flip work to the top. It's real easy to get imbalanced in our time and energy. And so it takes incredible intentionality to know what is important in my life and how am I going to stick to it. I think we would all agree that Jesus was pretty clear about what was most important, that we should love God first and foremost. Jesus said that, Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then what was next? You should love others. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. So we know that from Scripture that God's purpose is clear. We should love God. We should love others. That should be the most important things. We know from Scripture the purpose of God is to make him look good to everybody that's watching. If God doesn't look good because people are observing your life, then that may mean that you're not fulfilling your life's purpose. And then secondly, God's purpose, God's glory, making God look good, but God's mission in the world. That means that you would tell people, like, this stuff that you believe that you come to church for to hear about, that you would actually say, hey, let me tell you about the goodness of God in my life. And here's how God's been working in my life recently. And as a result, then that shows that it's important. It is really important to God that we live lives that make him look good to those around us. And it's really important to God that we tell others about Jesus. These are important things to God. And my question for us this morning is, are they important to you? Well, y'all look like y'all needed something a little bit lighter. So let me tell you a little funny story. I used to tell a funny story about the Saints going to the Super Bowl when hell freezes over, but that doesn't work anymore because they went a few years ago. Ben, sorry. But I do have a Cajun joke for you, Ben. Here we go. So Boudreaux from way down in South Louisiana, if you have ever heard these Boudreaux jokes, they're pretty funny. Boudreaux from way down in South Louisiana won a free ticket to the Super Bowl, and he had a really bad seat. And so he decided to walk around the stadium, and he noticed an empty seat right on the 50-yard line. And so he made his way down to it, and he asked the man, he said, hey, my friend, is this seat taken? And the man replied, it wasn't. So Boudreaux sat down, and Boudreaux said, man, this is a great seat. Why would anyone pay thousands of dollars and not sit here? And the man said, well, this is my wife's seat, but she done died. And the man, Boudreaux, says, well, you got none of those relatives that could come and sit with you? He said, no, none of them can make the game. And Boudreaux said, why not? The man said, they're all at the funeral. The man has his priorities out of whack. And that's easy to do, isn't it? May we have the priorities of the Apostle Paul who wrote this. He said, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Today I'm doing a funeral or a memorial service at 3:00, and it's always a good reminder when you are preparing for a memorial service that all the things that we consider to be important in life really aren't that important in the big scheme of things. I mean, like, in the real big scheme of things. Decide what is important. Paul had made that decision to prioritize his relationship with God. And how do we do this? Real practical step. Number two, give calendar time to the important things. Give calendar time to the important things. We all say that we value these things, but do we give calendar time to it? A great prayer from Psalm 90 is this: teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. This isn't easy stuff, guys. This is intentional living. This is saying, I'm going to live my life on purpose. I'm going to have goals. I'm going to have purpose. I'm going to have a destination I'm traveling to, and I'm moving in that direction, not by happenstance, because we know that there's three things that can happen if we don't do anything. We can dull, we can drift, or we can harden. We can dull, we can drift, we can harden if we don't do anything. These are uphill habits, but like I said, they'll be better if we do them. Our whole life will be better if we do this. There are three ways that I think you can make time in your calendar. One is make time for renewal. Make time for renewal. We talked about this week one, putting first things first. Make sure that we are spending time with God on a regular basis. We talked about taking a Sabbath day. Like that may sound like absurd to some people, but taking a day where you actually just recharge and renew, because here's what God knows: you can get more done in 6 days with a day of rest than you can in 7 days without any rest. God wants us to take in time with him and renew and refresh. Another thing we can make time for is to make time for relationships. Make time for relationships. And I'll say this, having just driven to Dallas Friday night and driven back because of kids' sports can ruin our family relationships. They can. And I think we, if we really think about it, we believe that to be true, but then we schedule ourselves to death. And we go and we go and we go and we go and we go. But I'll say this, an overwhelmed schedule results in an underwhelmed soul. And the reality is our relationships suffer when we overschedule our family. We have 5 kids, and you know, most of the time people are like, "Woo, you must be busy." Yes, we are. But we're not overly busy because we've determined that we're not going to ever let our kids do 2 sports at one time. Like, I have friends that have people that I mean, they've got kids triple sports at one time. I just think, how do you ever have dinner as a family? We set a goal to have dinner as a family several times a week. And how do you do that if you're running kids up and down 620 all day? We don't want to live on 620. Heard about someone who said, "Kids, go get..." No, they said, sorry, but wrong joke. they said, "Kids, let's go eat." And so all the kids went and got in the car. That's where they normally ate. So anyway, that's the joke. All right, make time for relationships. Make time for reward. Reward. Now, when I say reward, some of you are like, "Yeah, man, vacation sounds good. Hyatt place, Hyatt, you know, wherever, Caribbean, ocean. Yes, I want that kind of reward." That's not the kind of reward I'm talking about. The reward I'm talking about is when you get to heaven, God is going to ask you 2 questions. One is, what did you do with Jesus? Did you believe in him? Did you trust him? Did you believe what he said, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through me? Did you trust Jesus for your life and eternity? The second question that God's going to ask us, because he's going to give us entrance to heaven based on whether or not we trusted Jesus. The second question that he's going to ask us is, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you use the gifts and the talents and the abilities on purpose? And did you use them in my work, in my kingdom? Now, God will reward us based on the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. This week, our preschool director, Rebecca, she talked about on our Facebook Live devotional how important it is to serve and to make time for serving. And this just simply echoes that. Here's what we know. Making time to serve often benefits us more than it does the people we're serving. We have a team of 12 people that are about to go to Roatan next month on a mission trip. And here's what I know to be true. All 12 of those people are going to come back and they're going to be fired up. They're going to be excited. They're going to be focused. And that happens because they are giving and they are serving. When we focus on serving, when we focus on giving, our kingdom is not being built, but God's kingdom is. And God rewards the work done in his kingdom because he multiplies it. We've got to calendar it, though. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist. And really, this is saying that I'm going to live my life not by default. I'm not going to float, but I'm going to live my life by design. And I would go a step further and say, this is a God design for your life. This isn't your design where you put your dream board and your vision board and all that. All goals are awesome, but this is a God design for your life. So I'm going to live with purpose. I'm not going to sit and coast. How do I do that? Third way I do that is to eliminate the non-essentials. Eliminate the non-essentials. Peter Drucker is a business guru, and he basically says that you need to have 2 lists ongoing at all times. One is a start doing list, and one is a stop doing list. In other words, there are some things that should be all of our business And there are some things that should be none of our business. And the reality is for us as believers, we have to go back and we have to make sure that we're doing this personally, that we have to take inventory of our lives and make sure that we're eliminating the non-essentials. We're learning how to keep our life aligned with our purpose here. And a great purpose, I believe, diminishes distractions. It just does. Hebrews 12:1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, the stuff that trips us up, that keeps us from running on purpose, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Is your purpose great enough to keep you on track, running for God's kingdom? Now, I get it. Each of us is tempted to allow distractions to come into our life. Like I said before, we each think more is better. And the reality is some of us need to eliminate distractions. There was a seminary professor who was asked by one of his students, like, why did Solomon have so many wives? And the seminary professor said, well, I think it was because when he came home at night, he wanted to make sure at least one of them was happy. No, I'm just kidding. More is not necessarily better. Sorry, that's a bad joke. Don't tell that, Jeremy. This is day 15 of fasting for me, so my brain might be a little distracted. So ask yourself, what aspects of my life need to be radically altered to allow God's task to have the priority in my life? What needs to be changed? And then finally, last point, and the band can come, and that is to take regular inventory. Take regular inventory. That means that you actually plan a meeting with your wife and you say, hey, how are we doing in this area? John Maxwell is big about saying that experience is not the best teacher. And in fact, a lot of people say that, right? Experience is the best teacher. But John Maxwell says, experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. So take inventory. Regular inventory of our purpose. How did we live on purpose this week? How can I calendar more next week? Psalm 139 is a incredible prayer. I've prayed it many times in my own life. And it says this. It says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. Pew. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Friends, can I tell you that it's fleeing away? And in the middle of our life, Jesus wants to give us abundant life. He doesn't want us to live hell on earth. He wants us to live an abundant life here on earth. And as we engage in his purposes, we'll see that abundant life begin to flourish in and through us. So I want to invite you to bow your heads and take inventory right now. As we are just simply evaluating our lives, let me ask you, is Jesus the leader of your life? And if not, will you make him the leader of your life? He's not going to be pushy. He's a gentleman and he will not push himself on you. You have to make a decision today of whether or not you will make Jesus the leader of your life. And this applies for those who have never made that decision. This applies for those who have started to take the leadership of their life into their own hands. Just take inventory right where you are. And then, will you commit to make a difference for him in 2018? Right here today, will you live a purpose-filled life? Make time for the things that matter to God.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.